As we get started this morning, our time in the Word, I want us to spend some time in prayer to begin with, to center our minds and our hearts, and to become even more aware than maybe we already are that we've assembled in the presence of the Lord. So let's bow together. Our Lord, You are our light. You are our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Because, Lord, You are the stronghold of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? We live in a world, Father, where there are so many distractions. We live in a world, Father, where there are so many forces at work that are advancing against us to try to devour our souls. There are many enemies that would threaten us, that would try to cause us to stumble and fall. But our hearts will not fear, Father, for we have faith in You and Your strength. And in You we will be confident. Father, there is one request we have of You today. There is one thing that we seek, that we might dwell in Your presence, in Your house, all of our days. That we might gaze upon the beauty of who You are. That we might seek You from the depths of our being. That we might find safety in Your dwelling place in the day of trouble. Hear our voice, Lord. Be merciful to us. May all of our hearts here today seek Your face. Do not hide Your face from us, Father. You have always been our helper. Do not reject us or forsake us. You are our Savior, our Father, and our friend. And so we do not turn aside to the ways of the world, but Father, we seek You and we look to You, and we will remain confident this day in Your goodness. And we will open our eyes and we will see right now in today in the land of the living that You are good. So help us, Father, to wait upon You, to be strong, to take heart, and to wait upon You. Give us a united focus. Give us open hearts as we receive Your truth today. In the name of Jesus, Your Son and our Lord, we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine what it would have been like if you were among that crowd, if you were among the children of Israel, as they're standing on the eastern shore of the Jordan River. Imagine what it's been like. It's been 40 years of waiting for that promised land. And now, Moses is dead. Before us is the land that is flowing with milk and honey. A land of tremendous bounty and joy and provision and promise. But also, in that same land, there are giants and large fortified cities. We have been slaves in Egypt. We have been vagabonds in the desert. But now, we're on the brink of God's promise. What will we do next? Who will step out? Who among us will be our champion? Who in the crowd will be a leader to take God's people into the next chapter? God speaks to Moses' assistant, Joshua. And he tells him, what's next. Our text this morning is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is God's word to Joshua. I want to speak rather frankly this morning to us here as God's people in the Church of Christ at Maryville. This congregation of God's people is built upon a strong heritage, a heritage of considerable men and women of faith who have made tremendous sacrifices, who have made tremendous investments, who have poured into this body of God's people with an eye toward the future. And today, this church is what it is. We sponsor global evangelism. We have a strong youth and children's program. We have solid biblical teaching. We have a wonderful facility of great outreach potential that, by the way, is on the brink of being paid off. We have an influential Christian preschool that has a tremendous reputation in our city. We have a wonderful and vibrant fellowship of believers in this place. We enjoy all of this today because there have been people in the past, in the history of this gathering, who have been tremendous soldiers of the gospel, who have been supporters of God's kingdom. Many of those great contributors have now passed on to their reward. And by the way, we all, if we are realistic, realize that there are, even in our midst now, tremendous contributors who have supported the growth and the vibrancy of this congregation, that are in the sunset years of their life, that in the coming months and years ahead will also be making their grand entrance into the fullness of God's kingdom, into the welcome embrace of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that they've been serving all these years. These devoted brothers and sisters have held up the work of this church by being prayer warriors, by being financial contributors, by being teachers of adults and children of the unsearchable riches of God's grace and the message of His Word. We've had volunteers and servants who have contributed a vast amount of sacrificial amounts of their time and service to the growth of this church. And so now, in a very real way, we, the Maryville Church of Christ, in the year 2019, are much like the children of Israel on the banks of the Jordan. Many of our Moseses are moving onward. And we are left with the same question that Israel had on Jordan's shore. What will the next chapter be for us? To continue this work, we need Joshuas to arise. We need men and women who will be the next giants of faith, the next pioneers of prayer, the next big dreamers of vision for what God's people can do, and the greatest contributors for the cause. And so as we look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, there are at least three big ideas that jump out of this reading that inform us today in the Maryville Church about what our next chapter could be. God is speaking through His timeless Word, a same encouraging message to us today that He spoke to Joshua and his people so long ago. In the first place, don't be afraid. Our hearts are saddened whenever a generation of God's people begins to leave, and we begin to think, who is going to fill their shoes? But God reassures Joshua and the Israelites, and He reassures us today through this text, that even when our mentors and our leaders leave, God will always be with us. God will never leave. He will never forsake us, and He will never leave us. And if that is true, and we know that it is, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is with us, what then shall we fear? God will always be with us. Even in the face of tremendous cultural giants, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable fortified impediments, nothing is compared to the God who goes before us. So we must not forget that. As we transition into the next chapter, we may not know what that's going to look like or what that's going to bring, but one thing I know for sure is we should not fear it. We should not be afraid, because we know who goes before us. We serve a God who brings down giants and who makes city walls collapse. He goes before us, so don't be afraid. Secondly, don't be discouraged. We can be tempted, just like Israel was, to want to look back and think back on the golden days that are behind us. Do you recall that Israel had lost sight at one particular point in time as they were in the wilderness, even with Moses still with them? They lost sight of where God was leading them. And they began to think back to the days of Egypt, thinking somehow that going back to Egypt would be better than what God had in store for them. And this led to a great discouragement among God's people, a great division, and even threatened to destroy God's people in their divided mind. And God would say to Joshua, as you're now about to enter this promised land, don't be discouraged. I want to tell you that we can be thankful for, and we should celebrate, and we should absolutely look back with great fondness and thanksgiving for all the contributions that have led us to the present time. But let me also tell you that Satan can use nostalgia as one of his greatest tools to cause us to lose heart and to lose focus about what is laying in store for us. Moses may have left, but Israel's best days lay with the promised land ahead of them. So don't be discouraged. Thirdly, be strong and courageous. Did you notice this repeated refrain? He says it not once, not twice, but three times in 9 verses. Be strong and courageous. And as if they had missed it, he emphasizes it the third time, be strong and very courageous. Courage means we don't look back in retreat. Courage means we press forward in faith. Our mission is not, nor has it ever been, to maintain the accomplishments of the past. Our mission is to build upon the contributions of the past with a vision that has been instilled in us by our heritage to continue and to press forward in the mission of Christ in our world. This is what the people that had built Israel, the people that have built the Maryville Church, this was their dream. Was not that we would just simply maintain the things that they handed to us, but that we would take the baton from their hand and keep running the race. That we would continue up the mountain, that we would continue toward the goal, that we would continue with the focus of the vision and the mission of Christ in this world. So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged. We are entering into a season of the next chapter of the history of this church where we need Joshua's to rise up and lead. And my question to you is, will you step up and help us to move forward as a church? As a church, what will the next chapter mean for us? It may very well depend upon you. In the first place, I'm going to tell you what we need. We need more volunteers. I suppose the church is always in need of volunteers because we are a volunteer army. God doesn't want people to serve Him out of some ulterior motive or some type of manipulation or some type of begrudged duty. But instead, God wants willing people, cheerful givers of themselves, their time, their talent, and their resources for the building up of God's kingdom. He wants volunteers that have a heart that beat for Him, that want to see something great happen for the kingdom of God. People that have a vision for that and a passion for that. And therefore, we need more volunteers. We need ministry leaders with renewed energy and fresh eyes. I'll tell you, we have in this church many people that have done tremendous things to build up this church. And we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for your contributions. But I also realize that we have servants that have been serving for a long time. We have deacons and ministry leaders that are weary in a job well done, but a job that has been done perhaps too long. And so we need some people that will step up, that can relieve these positions, that have renewed energy and fresh eyes for what can be done for the work of ministry. We need volunteers. Secondly, we need teachers. I tell you, Christianity is a taught religion. And we need people that have a passion for God's Word, that have spent time poring over Scripture, but also, and perhaps just as important, if not more important, have spent time in a personal walk with the Lord, that have something to contribute in teaching children and adults how to follow the Lord in a pathway in life of discipleship as well. And so we need more people to consider stepping into these roles, or at least preparing yourself to be equipped to be able to teach others to follow Jesus as well. We need more teachers. Also, we need cheerful and generous contributors. We need givers to the cause of Christ. We are extraordinarily blessed here, if you stop to think about it. To be the church that we are, the size that we are, we have an enormous facility and a wonderful outreach center and a preschool. And you know what? That didn't just happen. There were people that gave in considerable and sacrificial ways in the past to make sure that we have this wonderful place that we have today. And we should thank God for that. But I'll tell you, this building doesn't just continue on by itself without proper maintenance and upkeep and renovation that will be needed in years to come. And that will not happen unless we have generous and cheerful givers that are willing to step up and say, I believe in the work that can be done and want to see it go even to the next level. Not just maintain this, but let's go to the next level of what we could do in reaching our community and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ from this place. And so we need givers as well. I want to close these thoughts about the next chapter with a quote that I have run across that I really appreciate a lot. One individual said this, bravery is not the absence of fear. Bravery is feeling the fear, feeling the doubt, and feeling the insecurity, and deciding that something else is more important. Do you believe that the kingdom of God is the single most important thing in this life? I don't know whether you do or not, but I'll tell you this. One day you will believe that if you don't already. When the EKG flatlines, all that will matter is, am I a part of the kingdom of God? That's all that's going to matter. That's what this world is here for. That's what God made you for, was to be a part of His kingdom. And we've got to get this message out to as many people as we possibly can, because people are being ushered into eternity every second that don't know Jesus and don't know the kingdom. And it is on us to be ambassadors of this message as lights into a darkened world and darkened culture. And the only way that we're going to be able to be effective in doing that is we have to decide that there is something more important than my insecurity, something more important than my fears or my doubts, and that is the kingdom of God. It is what is most important. And so, you know what? I might have a little apprehension about what I need to do to walk out in faith and to give more sacrificially. I might have a little bit of fear about stepping into a role that I'm not used to in trying to teach children or adults. I might have a little bit of doubt about whether or not I can really sacrifice the time from my schedule and reprioritize my life around the kingdom of God and give more time in volunteering to something that is of eternal significance over things that really will not have any eternal significance. I might have some doubts about that, but you know what? The kingdom of God is something that is more important than all of these things, and it calls for bravery, and it calls for not necessarily not having fear, but walking into our fears and being strong and courageous and believe that the Lord goes before us and the Lord's kingdom is what matters most. And so that's what the next chapter means for us as we stand on the cusp and as we look over Jordan into what might lay ahead of us. We need Joshua's to arise. We need men and women of great courage in the face of their fears to say, the Lord goes before us, and so we will take this land. I hope you'll give consideration to what your part may be in the next chapter of the Maryville Church of Christ. This morning, it's got to start with you putting the Lord first, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. If you're not in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you know that you need to be and you need to know more about what that looks like and how to take steps into receiving the marvelous gift of God's saving grace, we would love to talk to you about how to receive that wonderful gift. And so if you need a personalized study where we just sit down together and have some interaction and you ask some questions and we open the Word and you open your own Bible and find answers of what God is laying on your heart about the steps you need to take, then let's do that. You can talk to me in the foyer afterward. I'd love to talk with you more about it. There are many here that would love to. If you need prayers of encouragement or help, our shepherds that tend this flock of God's people are going to be available in the library. If you've got a personal concern that you need to pray about or just share with someone and get some counsel and advice, they're available for you. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?